How are you doing, Church of Hope? Love you guys so much. So glad you're here. As today, we're going to be talking together about being on the right road. We're going to be speaking from Psalm 1, the very first psalm of the 150 psalms. Summertime is a time for travel often. Anybody go on a road trip? Anybody planning a road trip this summer? Anybody ever been on a road trip? I want to talk to you about being on the right road. Have you ever found yourself on the wrong road and said, I don't think we're where we should be. I think maybe we're lost. Thank God for GPS. It's really helped us a lot. Years ago, I had some friends traveling from Chicago. Finished a day of business in Chicago, coming over to Detroit. It's about a four-hour drive if you've ever made that drive. So they wrapped up business in Chicago, got in their car, drove 2 hours. After about 2 hours, I said, hey, let's take a break. They got off. They had a cup of coffee, stretched their legs, got back on the road, drove another 2 hours, and all of a sudden saw signs welcoming them to Chicago. They got on the wrong road. They got off for coffee, got mixed up on coming back on, and drove back to Chicago. So after 4 hours of traveling, they had made no progress. Which is what happens when you're on the wrong road. Lots of activity, no progress. The Bible teaches us about different ways of living, different pathways of living. And Jesus encourages us, as the master teacher and Lord, Jesus encourages us to choose a road less traveled. You may think Robert Frost came up with that idea, but it was Jesus. He teaches us that there is a broad road, lots of people on that road, but there is a road less traveled that ends with the rewards of God. He says that to us in Matthew chapter 7. If you have your study guide, it's right there. He says, I want you to enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. So there's a broad road. And the end of that road is destruction. So let's make a broad, that's a broad road. And he says there's a narrow road. These pieces of art are worth a lot of money. If I was in New York City, I could sell that for $500,000 right there. This one ends in, and here's what the Bible teaches us. The right road leads to reward. And just like my friends in Chicago, when they got on the wrong road, it ends in remorse. When they ended up back in Chicago, they were not happy. And here's what Jesus is teaching us. That broad road ends in destruction. It ends in remorse. But there is, verse 14, but there's a small gate, and there is a narrow way, a narrow roadway, and it leads to life. Reward, eternal life is what he's talking about. But there's only a few people who find it. I want to be one of the people that walk that narrow road. I want to make that choice. And the first psalm, Psalm 1, carries that theme of there being different ways of living. There's only six verses in the first psalm. The first one talks about a way of life and living. And the last verse talks about a way of life and living, a pathway, a roadway. And the first psalm is all about setting up this difference and the importance of making the right choice. We come to crossroads in our life, moments of decision in our life. And the first psalm is about calling us, and Jesus is about calling us to make wise decisions when we come to crossroad moments of our lives and choose the road less traveled. So let's draw some truth from Psalm 1 that will set us free. The first truth I'd like to draw is from the first verse of Psalm 1, and the truth is this, that You can tell you're on the narrow way, the road less traveled. You can tell you're on that roadway when your life is constantly growing and developing, when you are moving forward in your soul, when you're actually getting better. How many know God wants you to get better? How many are thankful that you're not what you used to be? Come on, somebody. And how many know that you're not what you're going to be? And there's a call to that. And the first verse says, you're blessed if you understand that. Blessed. Psalm 1 says, blessed. That's how this whole psalm opens up. And the 150 psalms really begin with this theme that there are different choices people make in life. And when you read the 150 psalm, you'll find sometimes people made good choices. And they rejoice. And they're blessed. And they're happy. Sometimes they made bad choices, and there's lament and pain and repentance. Psalm 1 sets the stage. Blessed. How many would like that to be your testimony? Blessed. Blessed is the man or the person that does not, he's warning us, does not walk. And get these, there's three designators here. I don't want you to miss in this verse. Walked is one of them. Got a pen, circle it. Walked. Everybody say walk. Who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand. There's the second one. Everybody say stand. So you don't walk, you don't stand in the way of sinners, or you don't sit in the seat of the mocker. Say sit. He's saying that there is a world wisdom. There are people that will try to pull you from the narrow way. And there's, as Jesus said in Matthew, there's a lot of them. And they're trying to pull you. They're trying to get your attention while you're walking this narrow way, when you're walking the right road. They're like, hey, listen to us. Hey, let me have your attention. They're speaking to you through the internet and through media and through television and through music. They're saying, hey, let me get your attention. And they want you to slow down in your walk until you are giving them your attention. And all of a sudden you're standing, listening, and then you move to sitting. And how many know when you're sitting, you're not making progress? Right? You're not going anywhere right now unless you stand up. In fact, no, stop. I didn't say. That's when people doze off and they just hear me say like little phrases instead of listen to the context of what I'm saying, which sometimes happens. At the end of the service, we're going to stand up. We're not there yet. I know you'd like me to close in prayer, but I'm not doing it. And here's the, and get this. This Broadway has lots of activity. How many know on I-75? Lots of speed. But it's like my friends going from Chicago. After lots of activity and lots of speed, they're in the same place. Here's how you can tell if you're on the right road. If you feel stuck, if you feel like my life is stuck, it's because you've slowed down, stood around, and started sitting. And usually the conversation when you sit with this group of people is not very good. It's full of complaint and negativity and... And so what he's saying, hey, you're blessed if you learn this. You're blessed if you don't get distracted by this broad way. You're blessed if you stay in this pathway. And here's the mark. You're not distracted to slow down, stand, or sit. You keep on walking. In fact, the journey that we're on is called the walk of faith, not the stand of faith. We're walking by faith. We're moving forward. No matter where we are, no matter what circumstance we're in, we're constantly reaching forward, no matter what's happening in your life, good, bad, or indifferent. My dad recently had heart surgery. My dad's in this church, not today because he's in rehab. He's rehabbing from his heart surgery. They replaced a valve in his heart. They did it through an artery, which was, so they didn't have to open him up. In fact, they asked him. They said, okay, if we get into trouble when we're doing heart surgery and we have to open up your, for open heart, he said, no, don't do that. He said, if you get in trouble, just let me go to heaven. Because he's ready to go. How do you know he's ready? Because he's been walking all this time on this narrow way. He's ready. He's ready for the reward. Right? So now he's in rehab. And you go, well, he's in rehab. What a bummer. Well, he's in rehab because he's walking the narrow way. He's reaching out. Everyone that comes into his room, he's telling them about Jesus. He's telling them about the Church of Hope. He's inviting them. He said, Scott, you must bring me cards to invite people to church. So many people here want to come to church. So here it is. Wherever you end up, rehab is not the funnest place to be, but even in a place that others would consider difficult, the life of narrow walking is always reaching out, moving forward, walking by faith. When you get stuck, you get that feeling, you get that funk, it's because you're slowed down, you've been attracted by this Broadway, and you've ended up sitting. And so the first thing he says is, you're blessed if you understand this. Don't be distracted by the Broadway. Keep moving forward in the narrow way, but keep moving forward. Now, he tells us in verse 2, an essential element of moving forward is to continually tune in to God. And this is so important. If you want to tune in to a radio station, you have to get dialed in, right? And in all of the radio signals in this room that are going on now, I hope you're not listening to any of them. I did that in church because it was a good game on and I had to listen to it when I was a kid. And there I was, my dad was preaching, I was amening him, but I was listening to the game in my ear, tuned in. Please don't ever do that. If you want to tune into something, you got to tune in. And here's how you tune in. And when you're tuned in, God is going to continue to challenge you to move forward. And we tune in through prayer and through meditation. And he says that in verse 2. He said, verse 1, blessed are you if you're not distracted, if you don't get bogged down in the wisdom of this world. Verse 2 says, but, that's the transition word, right? But, your delight is in the law of the Lord or the scriptures or the word of God. And in that scripture, you meditate day and night and night and day. And so here's the practice. First thing in the morning, I want to tune in. Not to all of the activity of the world, not to this broad pathway. I want to tune into the voice of this narrow pathway, the right road. I want to make sure I'm not ending up back in Chicago. I want to make sure I'm on the right road. So, through prayer and meditation, I tune in. And meditation, get this, and prayer slows you down. This road, this I-75, just if this was I-75, like multiple lanes, how many know they run, they drive faster on I-75 than they do on Wendell Kent? Hopefully. Though I have seen some of you burn out of here trying to beat the traffic. But a narrow road, you go slower. And here it is. This is true. Slow down. Listen. Tune in. And it's essential. Verse 2 says, but blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord. So you're tuning in, listening, slowing down. And I try to do this myself, and I recommend it to you in the morning, day, when I get up, tune in right away. And before I go to sleep at night, I try to have some time, prayer and meditation, just before I go to sleep so that I have my unconscious has just been influenced by my conscious mind to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so when I dream Holy Spirit dreams instead of other kinds of dreams. Right? Now let me give you, and let's look at some practical ways of having this quiet time with the Lord. Okay, a few things. Number one, find a quiet place. Jesus teaches us about the prayer closet, to find a quiet place. I love in the message, here's how he says it. He's talking about the prayer closet in Matthew 6. This is Jesus talking. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place, so you won't be tempted to role play. And can I just say to you about finding this quiet, secluded place? For me, I don't know about for you, but I would highly recommend don't take your cell phone with you. My Bible is on my cell phone. It's good to have your Bible on your cell phone. But when I go to have this quiet time, because my cell phone has not only my Bible on it, it has all kinds of other stuff. And my cell phone tweets and bings and rings and does yours do that? So I could be trying to tune in, but there's other things distracting me, so I don't do that. I leave that outside. I find a quiet and a secluded place for me and for the Lord. Just be there, simply and honestly as you can manage. And here's what happens. The focus shifts from you to God. You tune in. That's essential. You tune in and you begin to sense His grace. Now, when I have that quiet time with the Lord, other thoughts will sneak into my head. And I have to be very diligent to do this next part, which is to take those thoughts and cast them on the Lord. I cast them on the Lord. In fact, I love when Peter says, cast your anxieties on the Lord. So I want to cast my anxieties. Anything that tries to creep in. Gabe is here. Love you, Gabe. And we haven't had any bad words lately, right? We're pretty good shape. So what I'm going to say, I'm just making this up, okay? Say Gabe was at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday morning, and we had a terrible fight. We didn't really, right? I'm just making that up. But say you just told me off. Sometimes people tell the pastor off. And you just told me off. So then this morning while I'm having my time with the Lord, I find a quiet place. I leave my cell phone out there. But in my thoughts, Gabe gets into my head. Does that happen to you? All of a sudden, Gabe appears. And all the feelings that Gabe got stirred up in me appear. And I have to do this. I have to be very conscious. I say, okay, Gabe, you don't belong here right now. I need to cast you on the Lord. Lord, I'm just going to give Gabe to you. And I say goodbye to Gabe. I have to. And here, just like the cloud that floats across the sky, I just go, goodbye, Gabe. Because I'm spending time with the Lord. And anxiety will try to come in. Or the adversary loves to condemn you. He likes to bring like things from your past or something sinful. And he likes to bring it into your mind while you're trying to have this quiet time with the Lord. And you have to say, no. I cast that on the Lord. I give that to the Lord. Goodbye. See you later. Because I'm spending time with the Lord. Because then you can fulfill what the psalmist calls us to do. And there's a beautiful, beautiful truth. You can be still and know God. In that, just slowing down, in that stillness, you can tune in to God instead of having anxiety and depression and sins. Just cast that on the Lord so you can be still and know His voice, because His voice is going to give you direction to walk this pathway, to enjoy this. So if you found yourself stuck, I'm going to say stand up. Make a decision to come back to the narrow way. Tune in to God. Cast your anxiety on the Lord. And when Gabe leaves my mind, I replace Gabe with Scripture. Because remember verse 2 says to meditate on the Word of God. So this helps me. Because your conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time. Your subconscious, your unconscious, that's where you're all at. That's where Gabe came from. If Gabe pops into my mind, my subconscious threw it up. I go, oh no, I'll let you go. My conscious mind can only think about one thing at a time, so I want to really be conscious about thinking about a scripture. And here's how I do it. I choose to think about a promise from God's word that I need for that day. I know what my day has, and I concentrate on a scripture, a truth, a promise, and I meditate on it. For example, those of you that have been following our story know our youngest daughter has been fighting cancer. She had cancer surgery. She goes for radiation this week. So while I've been going through that, in my prayer time, I've been meditating on the scripture that says, I am the God that healeth thee. I think about that all the time. And when Gabe pops in, I go, no. Goodbye, Gabe. I'm coming back to I am the God that healeth thee, that every cell of my being, every part of my family is healed. Or from Isaiah 53, that God says, I was wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon the Lord, and by his stripes you're healed. So I just, and actually that word meditate in the Hebrew means to murmur or to speak. So I literally, while I'm having that quiet time with the Lord, I'm going to be speaking those promises. Because when I speak them, it helps me to focus my mind. And I focus on the Lord so I can stay not distracted by the broad road, all the media, all this stuff. I come back to the narrow road, and the Lord is calling me forward. And as I do that, here's what happens. Verse 3, every step of our journey, when you follow this narrow road, every step of your journey is a step of prosperity. Every step is a step of prosperity. Every step is a step of prosperity. Is there anyone interested in prosperity here? I mean, good prosperity. I mean, sure, there's a pseudo prosperity in our culture. There's a pseudo prosperity over here on the narrow way, on the broad way. Then there's genuine prosperity. And look at what verse 3 says. Verse 3 is a precious promise. He is like a tree who's got your roots down into the right place because you're in the scriptures, your meditation and prayer. You're like a tree that's planted by streams of water. You yield fruit. Your leaf doesn't wither. And I love this. Whatever you do prospers. Somebody say amen. Go ahead, put your hand on your heart and say, whatever I do prospers. Now that's the will of God. Now you not false prosperity. Genuine prosperity. Genuine prosperity is when you are connected, get this, to the invisible, the intangible, and the eternal. True prosperity is when you are connected to the invisible, the intangible, and the eternal. The prosperity of this Broadway is not connected. The prosperity of this world is connected to the temporal, the material, and that which is passing away. And it measures prosperity the wrong way. Now, if you got a good house, wonderful. You got a great car, wonderful. But that's not true prosperity. You can have all that stuff, but it's temporary and it's passing away. In fact, I know people that have a lot of stuff and they're wondering why they're not feeling prosperous because they're not connected to the invisible, the eternal. For example, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about these manifestations of the Holy Spirit, these fruit. He talks about the fruit of fruitfulness of your life. Is love invisible, eternal, right? Is it? And how can you measure it? Can you put love in a test tube? I've got 2.5 love. No. Love is invisible. And what this roadway of this narrow road really is invisible, eternal values that are true prosperity. So you need to learn. There's a lot of false prosperity over here. Going 1,000,000 miles an hour, but not getting anywhere. Ending up back in Chicago. Why? Because you're sitting. You've got lots of activity, but you're not getting anywhere. This pathway is that you would grow in prosperity and love. So even when you're in rehab, you can love people. Even when you're in a very negative place and you feel like everything around you is, can I say this word, crappy? In the midst of all of that, there's still people that you can love. So, which means you can have prosperity every day. In fact, your stock portfolio can go down and you can still have a prosperous day. Why? Because this is temporary. This is passing away. This is eternal. This is moving forward. He says you'll be like a tree that's planted by the waters. You're going to bear fruit, love, joy. Joy is invisible, but I love it. You should smile at me when I say that because I do love it. Check your neighbor out. See if they got any joy. Go ahead, just check them out. Just give a little check out there. Just make sure. It's invisible. Now it manifests, But you can't measure it. Which when people tell me, I'm very scientific, I only believe in things I can see, I say, what a boring life. Do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? Yes. Well, how do you measure that? True prosperity of the narrow road is invisible and eternal, and every step of the road is prosperous, and it eventually brings you to the rewards, which we call heaven, the eternal. And that's what he's saying. Stay on this narrow road, and every step of your pathway is going to be prosperous. And then eventually, we end with reward instead of remorse. We end in the right place. The last verse of Psalm 1 says, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, those who are on the right road, the right path. But the way of the wicked, what happens to that? It perishes. Remorse. So I don't know what road you're on. But I know that whatever road you're on, you can change. That's what an interchange is. That's what a crossroads is. And at any point, you can come to a crossroad decision, and you can change. That's what the message of the cross is about, a crossroads decision, about a moment that you think differently. Jesus said it like this: if anyone wants to serve me, how many of you would be included in any? Any? If any of you wants to serve me, then what do? Follow. Follow Christ. When you drive on I-75 and you're going the right way, whatever for you is the right way, when you go home, whatever is the right way, are you close or far away from the other side of the road? You're pretty close. Actually, you should be praying all the time. But they're not that far. These roadways are not far away. When my friends got on the wrong road in Chicago, the right road was right there. And I always remind people, you may feel like you're far away from God, but you're only one step away, the step of faith. The enemy, the adversary, says, you're so far away from God, you'll never get back. No, you're a step away. You're a moment of decision away, a commitment away that says, okay, I'm not going on that broad road any longer. I'm stepping over by faith into the right road, and now I'm going to tune into God. I'm going to start a conversation with God, and he's going to take me from where I am to where I cannot take myself, and he's going to give me prosperity every step of the way, and eventually I enjoy the rewards of the end of the journey, and they're good. Heaven. He says, if you want to follow, serve me, then follow me, and you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice, and the Father will honor and reward anyone. How many would include themselves in anyone? Anyone who serves me. So we come to a moment of crossroads where we say, Lord, I want to be on that narrow path, the road less traveled. I don't want to get sucked into this worldly wisdom, this broad way. But Lord, teach me to be blessed, not to get distracted. We have to be conscious, not to be distracted. And if you've got distraction, I'm just calling you back. Stop listening to all of the distractions of this world and listen to that inner voice of the Holy Spirit in prayer and meditation. And I encourage you this summer to practice prayer, meditation in the morning, prayer, meditation in the evening, so you can listen to that inner voice of the Holy Spirit and be drawn onto a road less traveled, that's always moving forward. It's not stuck. Practicing love wherever you go. You can practice it wherever you go. Practicing joy wherever you go. These eternal, prosperous emotions and spiritual gifts, really. Practicing peace wherever you go. Practicing patience wherever you go. And so every step of the journey is a prosperous step. And it brings us to reward instead of to remorse. And so the psalmist calls us to that. Jesus calls us to that. It's really the message of the Bible. The Bible really calls us to that. To walk in the right road and enjoy the rewards of that journey. And I pray you have a great journey this summer. I pray you walk the narrow pathway because it's the best thing going. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. We're going to stand together for prayer. Can we do that? Let's close our eyes and open our hearts. We're going to invite our prayer team to come and just prepare to minister to people in prayer. And I'd like us to take a moment of thought to just ask ourselves, how are we? What road are we on the right? Have we been distracted by this broad road? Have we got around the wrong people and the wrong conversations? Have we got into the wrong rooms and made some lifestyle choices that are frustrating the grace of God? If that's true, all you have to do is go, I come to the cross today, a crossroads, and I step towards Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, now let me help you. We're going to begin a conversation with God in prayer, and we're going to continue it every day. I'm going to lead in a simple prayer that just begins a conversation. It begins the relationship with God. For some of you, it may be the first time you pray this kind of prayer. For someone else, it may be the first time you've talked to God in a long time. But God loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear your heart. And this kind of prayer is one that says, Lord, I want to receive your grace. I want Jesus to be my director, the Lord of my life inside of me. And so we pray this prayer, a beautiful prayer that we pray as a community together. We lift our voice and please pray with all the people around you and just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name to receive your grace. I repent of my sins, and I turn away from them. And I turn towards Jesus, and I receive him as my Savior and as my Lord. I receive your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy. Thank you, God, for loving me and never giving up on me. Now help me to walk that narrow road, that road less traveled. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. It's a good prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. And it begins a relationship. That's not the end. That's just a beginning. And if you pray that kind of prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, in the next few moments when we have prayer, just come up to one of our prayer team and say, hey, I prayed with Scott. And I'm beginning a relationship. We'd like to get a book to you to help you called Now What? And I had one in my back pocket, but I've lost it. But I'm sure they have one. I had one in the first service. I don't know what I did with it. So you can get that booklet, Now What? The prayer team will help you to get it. If you've been here for the first time and a guest, we'd love you to come some more. A lot of good people in this church that love you and want to see this journey. Not one perfect person in this church. I've been pastoring it for 23 years. I know that. But people that want to make the right steps, that want to follow. And when we come to the cross, God always brings us to that narrow pathway, the path less traveled. So our prayer team will pray with you. Whatever your spiritual needs are, physical, spiritual, emotional, we're here to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit, minister to you. You need healing. We believe in healing. Healing takes place all the time. You need grace from God. We're here just to pray with you and for you. Just believe in God, please. Just put your faith in God. And if you'd like to receive grace through the communion, you're welcome to receive communion. There's a communion station on the left-hand side and the right-hand side, and the bread and the cup of the Lord. As you come, just think about Jesus. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Think about what Jesus did for you on the cross. He absorbed all of your sin, all of your shame, took them all away, went into the tomb and rose on the third day to be with you in this moment, that you would know his presence in the communion. You would know his presence in prayer, and that the gifts of the Holy Spirit would strengthen you and the grace of God would strengthen you. If you've been a guest, please stop by the VIP room if you haven't done that ever before. There's like to meet you in there and give you some gifts. It's back on the left-hand side. I'm going to pray one prayer of blessing over you. And after that prayer, there's not a benediction. The worship team will lead us in worship. You can worship. You can come for prayer and experience the grace of God in prayer. You can come for communion and experience the grace of God in communion. And you can walk from this place on the right road, knowing things are right with you and God. Because you come to a crossroads in this moment to receive God's grace or resist God's grace. Our prayer is that every single one of us would receive God's grace that he has for us in this moment, in Jesus' name. And so I pray this blessing that the Lord's presence will speak to you personally about the grace you need and give you the faith to receive that grace today. The grace of salvation is available for you. The grace of healing is available for you. The grace of freedom and deliverance is available for you. All you have to do is come and receive. May you walk with Jesus every step of your journey. May you walk the road less traveled and enjoy the prosperity of that journey. In Jesus' name, I bless you. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed people. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord just a thanks, a praise. I love you guys. I love you. Come forward for prayer, please, and come forward for communion. And the worship team leads us in Jesus' name.